beautiful people. Welcome to a Friday edition of Stokely and Josh. We're rocking with you 10 to 2 as we do every day. And appreciate y'all being here with us on a Friday. You made it through the snowstorm of 2024. We're on the back end of that, Stoke. Everything is all good. How you doing on a Friday?
I'm doing great. Snow's done. And the weekend is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Action is happening around the NFL. We got the Nuggets on tonight.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Yep.
So should be a good weekend. And just a quick little hit while I remember. I think tonight Jokic goes off.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
I think tonight Jokic goes off. He didn't have a lot of points last game.
Yeah.
Wasn't very aggressive. Didn't take a lot of shots. Tonight he doubles down on it. And the victim is Greg Popovich and the Spurs.
Yes.
So get ready for that beatdown, Greg.
We always love Greg taking a beatdown. And if it's at the hands of our guy,
right,
it makes it even sweeter.
You're going to hit him with that right, left, right.
I know it probably won't happen, but I'd like to see Wimby and Nikola, a little battle against one another. But we'll preview that as we get closer. But, yeah, it is a big weekend. Rams and Buffs were in action last night. We're going to get to all of it, but let's start in the NFL because there was a move made this morning that directly affects the Denver Broncos in their pursuit of a quarterback in the 2024 NFL draft. And it's those dang Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings today have acquired the Texans' number 23 overall pick in the draft. Minnesota gets pick 23 and 232. Houston, in return, gets pick 42, 188, and the Vikings' second-round pick in 2025. Why is all this important? Well, because the Vikings are at 11, right in front of the Denver Broncos. The Vikings are one of four or five quarterback-needy teams in front of the Denver Broncos. And, Stoke, this screams, we just added enough to jump from 11 to 6, 11 to 5, 11 to 4, whatever that may be, to go and get their quarterback. So the Vikings, they're working the phones this morning. They've already made a deal and have added capital to make them even more dangerous in round one in April's draft.
Yeah, Vikings are going to get a quarterback.
Yep.
That's what you do. When you add another first-round pick late in the first round, why are you doing that? You don't know who's going to be available. You're doing it so you can have ammo to move up. And they're already one spot, like you said, ahead of the Broncos at 11. Broncos are picking 12th. And you look up there after the Patriots, because quarterbacks, I believe, are going 1, 2, 3, Bears, Commanders, Patriots, and then you got the Cardinals at 4, who you would think are going to take a receiver. They need a receiver. They don't have anybody to pair up with Kyler Murray. So probably a receiver there. And then at 5 could be a spot with the Chargers to make a move and possibly move up to with L.A. Chargers. The Giants are at 6. I think they're in the quarterback market, so you probably would want to try to leapfrog them if you're the Vikings. And so you look at either the 4th or 5th spot there with the Cardinals or the Chargers, but more likely probably being the Chargers because I just think that the Cardinals have to select a receiver there.
Yeah.
Maybe they want more picks to get more players because weapons around Kyler, so maybe it could be the Cardinals. That they end up making a deal with there at the 4th spot, so they know they can go get their guy. But certainly, this just signals, all right, J.J. McCarthy is going to be off the board. The Broncos won't be able to get J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. So I think overall, bad news for the Denver Broncos. That's the way I look at this. You wanted J.J. McCarthy? You know, if you did Sean Payton, you ain't getting him now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They have identified their target. They know now that they have to move up to get that target, and that's what they have done as of this morning. So Minnesota already adding a couple of things before April's first round of the draft. There was another thought I had when I saw this, though, and it's something we've only talked about a couple of different times, but I don't know that Minnesota would be the maybe victim is the term here in this case. But remember we talked about smokescreens and everybody going, oh, Sean is in love with J.J. McCarthy. All right. Well, maybe your smokescreen worked, and now you've got the Vikings chasing, but the Vikings don't really matter to the Denver Broncos, so it's not like a got him, you know what I mean? But if it was a smokescreen, you know, people are responding accordingly.
Yeah, I think, I don't think you would be fooled into making a huge move just to move up and get a quarterback. You got to love the quarterback.
Yeah.
So they have to really like him. And then guess what? If you really like him, I really don't give a darn if the Broncos like him or not.
Yeah.
I don't care what they're telling me. I'm going to go move up and get him, because if you're in the Vikings position or the Broncos position and you love McCarthy, okay, you have to look at the other teams already in front of you, like the Giants, as a team that's a possibility to take him in that spot, and they're sitting at six. So you have to say to yourself, we have to get in front of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be aggressive to do it. We know the Broncos need a quarterback. They're telling us they love McCarthy, right? Do they? Do they not? We really don't care. It doesn't matter to us because we do. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We're going to be aggressive, and we're going to move up and go get him. And I think that's what they did.
Yep, that is exactly what it sounds like. I think you're nailing it right on the head there, Stoke. And now you have to wonder if, all right, is it Bo Nix? That's kind of what it felt like this week. Is he there at 12? Is it early at 12? But, man, this first round now, we're 1, 2, 3. I agree with you. They're all quarterbacks. But it just feels like J.J. McCarthy's going top 10, maybe 5 if that move happens. Bo Nix is there in the top 15. And then who knows who gets maybe even more desperate. And you see Michael Penix Jr. climb up and land in round number one. So we're talking about 5, 6 quarterbacks now in round one of the NFL draft.
Yeah, certainly 5 for sure. But it's got to be 6. I mean, you could see 4 quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Right? Or it could be 1, 2, 3, 5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like we were, no chance we thought that was going to happen 2 months ago.
No.
That you could have 4 out of the first pick be quarterbacks. And then J.J. McCarthy all of a sudden has just skyrocketed into this conversation over the last month or so. That's just the way it works. It's game time. And Vikings said, hey, we're not going to sit on our hands here. We're going to be aggressive. Kirk Cousins leaves. They signed Sam Darnold to a 1-year deal. No big deal there. And they're looking to go get their quarterback of the future.
Yep. And look, I think there's another layer to that Vikings side of it, which, again, it's the Vikings, so not a lot on our side. But Justin Jefferson has said 3 or 4 different times through this offseason, not really interested in having the extension conversation yet until we figure out what's happening with quarterback. This move today, you're showing your young Justin Jefferson, hey, we're not going to just sit around and wait. We're going to be aggressive and go get somebody that we think can come and fill that void. So, Vikings fans probably fired up this morning. Broncos fans a little bit worried as to what it could look like in round one of the draft in April. What do you make of it, Broncos fans? 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. You can always join the show. Watch it over on Twitch. twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom and participate over there in the chat room. So let us know what you think about the Vikings move made this morning to add ammo in the 2024 draft. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, some of these wide receivers. Cliff said something yesterday about Courtland that had me thinking overnight. And I'll share it with you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
She's gonna break soon. We're gonna chat about the Broncos wide receivers here in just a moment, Stoke. But there's some more breaking news coming on the internet right now, and it doesn't seem to be just a threat this time. Looks like Big Aaron Donald from the Los Angeles Rams is hanging up the cleats. He has officially retired. Ian Rappaport has it, and then Aaron Donald himself on his own Twitter account, at AaronDonald97. Cheers to what's next. Extending a big thank you to the Rams and all of the fans for your support over these last 10 years. Much love. And then, you know, a video of him being a Super Bowl champion and a photo of him at the parade without his shirt on and a giant chain rocking the Lombardi trophy. So looks like AD is done.
Yeah, good for him. Like, he's talked about this for a few years.
Yeah.
And just hasn't followed through with it. So, you know, it's been on his mind. And now it's over. So, good for him. Like, obviously, one of the best to ever do it. Interior defensive lineman. I mean, he was pretty much unblockable one-on-one.
Yeah.
So, great player, obviously. And ended up winning that Super Bowl a couple years ago. So, it's like he's going to be done.
Only 32 years old, but hey. You know you're done. You don't want to do it anymore. I would imagine he's okay financially. And walk away.
There you go.
Walk away while you still can. Walk away. And you have the opportunity to do that. So that's the big news in the NFL today. The Vikings making that trade, as we talked about. But I want to talk a little bit about Jerry Jeudy. He is a new member of the Cleveland Browns, traded this week to Cleveland for a fifth and sixth round pick, and he did an interview. He talked to Cleveland media out there. And he had a couple of things to say, Stoke. Talked about where he wanted to be, fresh start, and in fact, we'll hear Judy talking about this fresh start he's given in Cleveland.
I just want this chapter to be, you know, better than before, you know, so a great opportunity here to be part of a winning program, of course, to bring a Super Bowl here, so I'm just excited to be here.
Yeah, you can hear it in his voice.
Just so excited to be here and man, winning the program and yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Sounds real fired up to be there. Okay. The joking aside though, it is a fresh start. It's something he desperately needs. And as we know, he never really provided much for the Broncos. So it's just a clean slate on this end of it from the Broncos.
Yeah, you're right. And hopefully it works out for him.
Yeah.
It's not personal. It's just it just wasn't good enough here, unfortunately. And I remember the night he got drafted. I was so excited. And watching him in training camp, so excited about the potential. It just never showed up consistently enough. We saw it in little spurts. It just wasn't good enough. So hopefully for Jerry, it works out for him. Guess what? I don't care what he does in Cleveland. I don't care if he has 5,000 yards this year. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to happen in Denver. It just wasn't going to happen in Denver for Jerry Jeudy and the Broncos. So they needed a divorce. They did that. Good luck to Jerry. And now the Broncos can kind of turn the page and start looking at some younger guys and hopefully find a true number one receiver.
One more from Jerry talking about being somewhere where they want him.
You know, as a player, you always want to feel, you always want to be a place that you want to feel welcome. You want to make it feel like home and want to be wanted. So, you know, having that feeling, you know, is great.
So obviously, maybe didn't feel that way here with the Denver Broncos. And I get why he thinks that. He's a little out of touch with what reality actually is. So I understand where he is coming from, his perspective. He probably didn't feel wanted, right? He was never wide receiver number one. But, I mean, man, that is so played out. First of all, they drafted you 15. Sean Payton went to bat for you in his first year. Nobody's, outside of maybe me, I'll raise my hand. I've badmouthed you. I didn't want you. That's for sure. But outside of that, who made him feel unwanted?
Well, I know where you're coming from, but I didn't hear the question.
Mm.
We didn't hear the question okay. there, okay. right? And it might have been framed that, hey, Cleveland really wanted you. What does that mean for you?
You're right.
Because they traded for you,
you're
right?
Yep.
So it might not have been anything against Denver there. So that's why I don't want to overreact to
okay.
it. Because
yeah.
he might have just been pumping up Cleveland because, hey, you know, they came out and get me. They traded for me. What does that mean for you? You know, they want you. And so it might not have been a shot at Denver there. More of a thumbs up to Cleveland
okay.
for wanting me and making me feel like I'm part of their plan. Because if you look at it, I mean, heck, the Broncos, they picked up his fifth-year option. $13 million. That says that they wanted you.
Yeah.
You know, that you were part of their plan. So I didn't hear the question and how that was phrased. So I don't want to rip him for that. But I think... Overall, obviously, like we just talked about, it just didn't work out here, and for a lot of different reasons. And I have my guesses on like a couple of them. Why? And obviously the structure, the system, the quarterbacks, you know, the ever changing around Jerry didn't help. But I think Jerry didn't help himself with maybe some things off the field.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully this fresh start will kind of get him reset and get him headed in the right direction for his career.
Yes. Yes. Let's hope it does for Jerry, because I mean, look, like you said, they picked up the fifth year option. Right now he's playing on an expiring contract, obviously young and a lot of talent somewhere in there. So this year's big for Jerry and his future in the NFL. What kind of person wide receiver he's looked at in this league.
If he goes out and has a really good year for Cleveland, you know, he's going to be their heir apparent to be their number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They have Amari Cooper, but he's not getting any younger. So contract year for Jerry Jeudy. So big year for Jeudy. And, you know, he's got some weapons around him.
Oh, yeah.
There with Amari Cooper, David Njoku.
Mm-hmm.
Running back position, I don't know what's going on there. Obviously, Nick Chubb got hurt last year.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And I think he's going to be, I don't know if he's a free agent right now or they're probably trying to work out something with his contract. So I don't know what that's going to look like there for the Browns. But there's some playmakers around Jeudy to help him out.
We're going to see what it looks like. And the Browns were one of those, I mean, you know, kind of the lovable loser pretty much all of their time as a franchise. But they were good this year. Found themselves in the postseason, led by Joe Flacco. So, yeah, he is on his way to Cleveland and had a day to sit down and talk with some of the media out there. Same with the Broncos wide receivers. Mike Kliss was with us yesterday. He's with us every Thursday from 9 News. And he mentioned Courtland Sutton. And this is what Kliss said. He's a part of their plans, talking about Courtland. So the Broncos are looking at Courtland Sutton saying, no, no, we want you to be around here. You were a leading receiver a year ago. You're still kind of the veteran leader in this wide receiver room. That was interesting to me because of what Sutton has done publicly on Instagram and Twitter and whatever he does with his social medias, you know, kind of saying goodbye or hinting at a goodbye. And then Kliss tells us, no, the Broncos want Courtland Sutton to be around. And so that roster bonus is due Sunday. So I'm assuming they want him around. He's going to be around because he doesn't have any other choice.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it looks. So you looked at his contract. We looked at his contract and how much money they could save there if they decided to move on from Courtland Sutton. But it doesn't seem like that. His bonus is due Sunday, $2 million, a part of his salary. So if you're going to guarantee that $2 million, he's going to be here. And that's what Kliss told us. So I think when you look at the Broncos wide receiver room, you want a veteran there.
Yeah.
And Courtland seems like he's a good leader, been a captain. All those things kind of check all the boxes there. So you like what you have off the field with Courtland Sutton. And then, you know, he can be that type of mentor for some of these younger receivers. Probably going to draft one. And you got Marvin Mims. So, all right. I mean, when you take a step back, it's like, okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing against Courtland Sutton.
No.
So I'm A-OK with them bringing him back. I was A-OK with them moving on from him. So I think I'm fine with it. Are you good with it? Do you like it, not like it?
I think he was, I mean, obviously the best wide receiver on the team a year ago. I'm a little intrigued at Courtland, who's still under 30, right? Will be 30 as the season comes. What he can look like. Now, I don't think that's going to be this year. But if they find that quarterback, if a quarterback is drafted this year and they find time for that quarterback to play this year, I would be intrigued by Courtland and a different quarterback that's not Russ or Trevor Siemian or Mark Sanchez or Joe Flacco or Case Keenum or, you know the
Brandon
list that goes
Allen.
On and on. Yeah, Brett Rippin,
yeah.
Chad Kelly for a kneel down.
Well, I see, and I think, you know, you make a good point there. I think what it is so if the Broncos, they want to take a quarterback in the first mm-hmm. round. Or say they take a quarterback in the third round. We haven't even talked about Michael Pratt
no.
lately or Spencer Rattler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that third or fourth round guys. And so if you do have a young quarterback, whether first round, third round, or fourth round, you want someone that young quarterback feels comfortable throwing the football to. Right? And Courtland is that type of guy. Big body guy. We saw some of the catches he made this year, just unbelievable mm-hmm. catches. And so you want to help that quarterback out as much as possible. You don't want him, you don't want him to look out there and you got Marvin Mims, Brandon Johnson, and little Jordan Humphrey and insert another rookie.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against those guys, but you want some dudes out there. And you can have Mims as long as you got Sutton. And then, hey, how about throw Renfro in there in that slot? Let's go get us a Hunter.
There you go.
Get Renfro in that slot right there. And so it's like you want that guy to be throwing to some dudes
mm-hmm.
to make it easier for him. And so I think that's another reason why they're looking at this situation and say, okay, I know we can save money, but we want our quarterback to feel as comfortable as possible. You moved on from Judy, you know, and you look at, okay, you could have saved a bunch of money with Sutton, moving on like you did with Justin Simmons,
mm-hmm.
but – you know, hey, we're going to get a young quarterback this year, and we want some players around him. We don't have a lot of options in free agency to do this, so let's just keep our own.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. And by the way, somebody did tell us on the RamosLaw.com text line, who was this? D. Wilkerson. They didn't give Judy a new deal, but they restructured his current deal, turned it into a bonus so they could save cap money. So he's getting a $12 million bonus instead of a $12 million salary.
Okay.
So they save some cap room, and then they can have the conversation of extension as the season rolls on. But still not a deal done. They just shuffled the money.
Yeah, I didn't even know they did that.
It just happened like 30, 45 minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Just now going down.
Oh, nice. So it's just saving them some cap room there,
yep.
And they're giving all his money pretty much at once. Like, Yeah. Oh, you asked me yesterday, like, how does that hit it, the bank account for, like, Courtland Sutton on Sunday?
Yeah.
You know, that's when his bonus becomes guaranteed or whatever. I mean, that's $12 million signing bonus right there.
Dang. Yeah. Nice little Friday for Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, not bad.
All right.
Big things popping.
There you go, Jerry. All right, let's take a timeout when we get back. The Rams and the Buffs, they're in the Final Four of their conference tournaments. Will they be cutting down nets this weekend? We'll have that conversation next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Stoke, we're trying to do a little bit more digging here.
What's going on, Mama?
With the Jerry Jeudy thing and how they can transfer that. Apparently, this is what we found out with Mary Kay Cabot.
Yes.
Say sure. They tweaked Judy's 2024 contract worth $12.987 million. That's the fifth-year option tender, converting $10 million of it into a restructure bonus and clearing that amount in cap space. The bonus will be spread out over void years for bookkeeping purposes.
So they added some years to it that become voided after this year,
mm-hmm.
and now they can spread that cap over however many years they void, they put in the contract, whether it be a 3 more years, mm-hmm. and so you spread that signing bonus, which is they gave him like $12 million.
Yeah, 12.9.
A signing bonus, so they spread that over those extra years, and so it just spaces out the cap hit. Instead of taking a $13 million cap hit this year, now you spread $4 million this year, $4 million next year, $4 million in 2026, 2027. Okay. That's how you do it. There you go.
And then Jerry Jeudy, as you just told me, teach me during the break, I'm like, well, why'd Jerry do this? Like, did they tell him he's getting an extension? And you said, well, they're cutting him a $13 million check today. And I said, that makes sense.
Yeah, there
I'll
you
take
go.
That. I'd
yeah.
ask for it in the big form. Like, can you give me one of those novelty checks?
That big
says
ones.
$13 million on it, you know?
Just gonna carry that around
yeah,
all day.
Yeah,
yeah. Go to the mall.
Put it on my back like it's a cape, you know?
Exactly. So you get your money right now. Like,
that's a pretty good deal.
It's March.
Pretty good deal.
You wouldn't get your money until the season.
Yeah.
You know, last paycheck is, you know, last week of the season. So now you get $12 million, $13 million right now. Pretty cool.
I would be down for that.
Yeah.
Certainly would be. All right. Let's turn our attention to the hardwood where the Rams and Buffs were both in action last night. We actually sat around and took both of the games in CSU against Nevada. I mean, the Rams were in control, man. They dominated that game basically from the jump. The Wolfpack would make their run a couple of different times. And got it tight, but every time they made that run, the Rams would answer. They had a response for it. They would end an 8-point lead, and they'd quickly get it back to 11, and then it'd go down to 3 or 5, and then it's up to 7 or 8 again. They just had answers every single time Nevada made their run last night. The Rams are playing some good ball right now.
Yeah, you know, they got out to that lead there in the first half, and then early second half, Nevada made a run, and CSU was just there to answer every time, like you said. And so nice win, really, really good win for CSU and that program. So we'll see what it looks like if they can finish this thing off. But that kind of, you think, would solidify them going to the big dance, right?
Yeah, they're pretty much all in already. Now I think it's about seeding. I was watching some of the bracket stuff yesterday, and they had the Rams up as an 8 seed.
I mean,
you get a win to get to the finals of the Mountain West. You get greedy and go win the dang Mountain West. That thing could get up to a 6, something like that, for the Rams. So all good with what they have going on today. The Rams will continue Mountain West play out in Vegas. And like I said, it is the Final Four, so they're going to take on New Mexico at 10 p.m. tonight down in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Not a
Let's
bad
rock
start
and roll.
Time, right? 10 p.m.? Be chilling on the couch, sit around watching little Rams hoops.
There you go. Late night action.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm always looking for it. All right, the other side of that is obviously the Buffaloes. The Buffaloes were in the Pac-12 tournament. They also got a win last night over Utah. It's 7 straight for CU. This, we just talked about how good the Rams are right now. They're not as good as what the Buffaloes are doing. 7 straight wins. Their big dogs are doing the brunt of the work. And I looked at CU as like, all right, are they one of those first four teams? You know how it is on Tuesday, you got the first four games and fighting for lower seeding. I think they might still be in that conversation. But again, you find your way to win tonight and get to the Pac-12 championship, then just as we mentioned with the Rams, get greedy and win the dang Pac-12 championship, then they obviously cannot keep you out. But I think they're right on the line right now. What about you?
Yeah, they've done a great job, obviously, doing what they needed to do here over the last few weeks to put themselves back into the mix here and possibly not have to be one of those teams. So we'll see what it looks like with the next game. But last night was just take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all they did. They went out there, and they smacked around Utah early, and Utah made a little run, and then they just put them to bed, and that's what you got to do. So nice overall. Like, go out there and handle your business. These are the things that you needed to do
mm-hmm.
to, you know, kind of hopefully not have to be in one of those, you know, first four in or first four out.
Yeah.
I don't think they're the first four out anymore. I think they've done enough here the last few weeks to say, hey, we're playing great ball right now, our best basketball right now, and that's what you want to be doing. So one more win would be nice, obviously, but I think they've done a really good job to hopefully not be one of those teams. And at the, like, worst-case scenario, they're the, like, last four in.
Right.
Worst-case scenario.
Yep. And you play Tuesday, they're hot, play well, then you win and you punch your ticket for the weekend games, and you're officially in the big dance. So got to get through Washington State to punch their ticket to the Pac-12 final. That is tonight, 8:30 on FS1 again, unless the game before it goes into overtime like last night, and then you just sit around and wait and wait and wait and wait, which is what
we review, replay, 30 minutes. Oh, goodness. Okay.
Like, that dude, Marquette, had a nice little shot, though, and we couldn't even figure it out. We're like, we're watching the replay 100 times. Stokes, like, up pointing at the TV and still couldn't figure out if it was a legit shot or not.
Yeah, that was a close one. Marquette, who they play? Who was that?
Villanova, yeah.
Yes. Buzzer beater there from Marquette, called it good, replayed it, and they ended up reversing it, which I think was the right call. But it was really, really close. That was a good finish, though.
It was. It was a great finish. We were wanting some CU action, but eventually got to it, and they were kind of in control by the time we even got to it anyway. But you know what my favorite part about last night hanging out was? You getting a 60 Minutes type interview from Kathy J from our sister station over on Cozy. She was grilling Stoke, man, and it was awesome.
My goodness. I was like, the heck is going on here? Like I'm just trying to watch sports. Like, my wife is here. Like, I don't want to talk.
There were questions, and Drew, Kevin, we were all there hanging out. We stayed down here last night dealing with the snow, and so was Kathy J and Jenny and Melissa and the Cozy crew, and it was, I mean, dude, it started with, hey, Stoke, so where are you from? You ever eaten snake? You ever eaten alligator? You ever killed an alligator? How about crawfish? How do you eat your crawfish? What did you do in Covington when you were 6 years old? Like, that's what it was. And I could have done it all night long.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were all loving it except for one guy.
Yeah. I was very uncomfortable.
He's like, yeah. Right. And we told him, too. You left. We're like, yeah, he's uncomfortable with this conversation. And then you came back. Boom.
Growing
back
again.
Into it again. Here we go.
I did leave. Y'all did tell him that? That's funny. It just got to the point where it's like, all right, I don't know. Let's just all hang out.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a question-answer segment here, you know? It's not about me. I don't want it to be about me.
It was all about you.
I know, but I don't like that. I don't want it to be.
They were so mad you didn't have an Instagram for photos.
Right, no Instagram. They couldn't believe that. They thought I was lying. I was like, no, I don't have it. Twitter gets me in enough trouble.
Yeah. At one point, I'm pretty sure Kathy J was taking money from people to come and hug you and do a photo, because that happened several times as well.
It was random. Yep, here she comes.
Yeah.
And a football and a stranger. Like, oh, my gosh.
It was shout out, Kathy J.
Yeah,
it
shout
was
out.
Awesome.
Was.
All right, let's take a time out when we get back. Field Yates, NFL analyst, he was at Bo Nix's pro day, stopped by the morning show this week, discuss what he learned and saw. What he saw was some similarities to Drew Brees. Should we get hype on that? We'll discuss next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Bo Nix had his pro day this week up in Oregon. Scouts, teams were there. Media was there. One of the people that was there, Stoke, was Field Yates. Field Yates, a NFL analyst, used to be with ESPN. He's doing his own thing now for his own YouTube show. But he dropped by the show with Mike and Mark. and talked about what he saw out of Bo Nix, what he liked out of Bo Nix. And a lot of these things, man, it could be, you know, talk is cheap, right? They're saying the right things. They're telling us what we want to hear. But he talked about some similarities he had to Sean Payton's favorite quarterback, which is, of course, Drew Brees. Here is Field Yates.
I mean, there are certain traits that I think you could say are fair to sort of see. You know, when you squint, you see some Drew Brees in him. Let's talk about the accuracy, because accuracy can be divvied up into a few different ways, right? There is the raw completion percentage, which I just referenced, which I don't think is the entire story. But when you set the single season completion percentage mark in the FBS, so, you know, we've been playing college football for a long time, it's at least an indicator that you are a very accurate quarterback. So Bo definitely has accuracy on his side.
So he's an accurate quarterback, very accurate quarterback. And he goes on to talk about some of these things. Actually, we'll do one more here, Stoke, about how athletic he is.
He's not a small guy. I think some people might think of Bo Nix as this, like, 6 foot quarterback, which obviously Drew was, or Drew might have been 6 foot on a good day. Bo is, you know, 6'2", maybe 6'2" and a half. So he's a well-built quarterback with some size. He's a better athlete than Drew was. Drew obviously navigated the pocket perfectly. I mean, one of the great in-pocket mobility quarterbacks of all time, but Bo was a legit running threat. They just didn't use him that much during his time there at Oregon. He was like this razzle-dazzle quarterback during his days at Auburn, which included starting as a true freshman in week one for Auburn, the first quarterback to do that at that program since 1946.
What is a razzle-dazzle quarterback?
Like a trickery type of guy. You know, they run that offense where you got motion here, hand here, fake hand here, throw it deep.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that's how I would define it.
Okay. So accurate single-season completion record for FBS quarterbacks, that's pretty dang good. Athletic, more athletic than Drew Brees, can run, didn't really do it. That actually kind of, that's like a tip for me of, all right, you have the athletic ability, but you're comfortable enough in the pocket to not just scramble because you feel a little bit of pressure on you. So a couple things from Field Yates. Are you buying into Bo Nix, or are you just listening to what they're selling? You know what I'm saying? Can you see the difference?
Yeah, look, I am. I mean, we heard a few days ago another report about Bo Nix. I forgot who that was from. But also comparing him to Drew Brees.
Lewis Riddick, yeah.
Lewis Riddick, that's right. Good recall there. And then we got our own Chicken Fingers loves Bo Nix.
He does.
Chicken Fingers, right? You love Bo Nix.
Oh, yeah, that's my guy.
Right, so he's been pushing him hard here. And so after hearing Lewis Riddick, it's like, okay. And then you hear Phil Yates, like, all right. And you see what happened today. Vikings got another first-round pick.
Yep.
Looks like they're going to try. They got the ammo to try to move up to get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, we're assuming it is J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
What if it's Bo Nix? What if it's Bo Nix?
Yeah.
Right? So, but they are gathering draft capital to move up to get a quarterback, the Minnesota Vikings are. Yeah. So whether it be, I guess it could be Drake May also if he slides. Drake May, because I think Jaden Daniels is going too. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, or Bo Nix. One of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably either J.J. or Bo Nix is the Vikings are trying to make a play for here. So that just leaves one quarterback left for the Denver Broncos. Is it Bo Nix? Is it J.J. McCarthy? Probably Bo Nix. I like hearing all that. 6'2", 6'2 and a half. He's a mobile guy, very accurate guy. I mean, I love hearing those things. Can manage the pocket, hang in the pocket, but also has the athleticism to get out of the pocket. All right, I'm sold. I told you yesterday, I think it's a quarterback roulette.
Mm-hmm.
Just spin the wheel. Whoever's available, whoever they can get, that's what they're going to do in the first round.
Then that kind of changed. Like, that's always the draft talk conversation, right? Is it position of need or is it best player available? What do you do? What do you do? Everybody has their own thoughts to it, but I feel like the general consensus is best player available. This would mean the Broncos are going the other route, position of need. Now, I think there's some wiggle room here because it's quarterback. So that position matters 10 times more than any other position does in pro sports.
Yeah, you have to like them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be watching the film and say, okay, well, we know the top three guys that are probably going to be gone or the top two going to be gone. After that, you look at the rest of them and say, all right, hey, we really do like Drake May. We really do like J.J. McCarthy. We're fine if we get Bo Nix. Hey, we If Penix Jr. falls to us, we're great with that. You know, so you have to have that type of approach when you look at the three or four quarterbacks you might have an option to pick if you're going to go down that road,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're going to sit there and say, all right, but you have to like them. I mean, I was just going to say we're going to take a quarterback just to take a quarterback. You still have to like the guy, or that would be a huge mistake. Obviously, we don't love him, but we really need a quarterback, so we're going to take a quarterback. I don't think they'll operate that way. So I think they feel good about a lot of these quarterbacks in this situation. And then you can always pivot. You can always pivot. You know, if it's just two out of the three and those guys are gone, like, all right, move back, gather assets. Hey, we're going to go get Michael Pratt in the third mm-hmm. round. We're going to go get Spencer Rattler in the fourth round. Whatever the case may be, you can always call an audible.
Do you think that – I was thinking about that exact situation last night, too, of moving back. They wouldn't do – you know, the Vikings today, they made that trade to get up, as you talked about. Denver wouldn't move back before the draft, right? You kind of have to gauge – what the night is, the things that you're hearing that night of the quarterback needy team. So they wouldn't play their hand before the first round of the draft, would they?
They could. They could. You know, if you're looking at the draft and you don't love any of these quarterbacks that you're going to have a chance to get, there's definitely going to be four that are going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Four that are going to be gone before 12. And you know you don't have the capital to move up and get a quarterback and say you don't really like Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., at 12. So you say, all right, this team wants to move up to 12. All right, we'll make a move. We're going to get a second round pick. And we really do like Michael Pratt a lot. And hopefully, you know, we'll take him with that second round pick. And so I think you can handle it that way
okay.
if you're the Denver Broncos, just depending on how you view these quarterbacks, mm-hmm. right? There might be only three guys that you really like. So if that's the case, you know you can't get them. And you don't have the capital to move up, then move back.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just wondering that if it would be night of, so they're just testing the water, gauging it, or like, hey, no, we know. We know who we like. We know who we probably more don't like, and we're going to take ourselves out of that situation. Broncos country, what do you think about it? What do you think the Broncos should do? Are you buying everything that the sounds like the NFL world scouts, analysts are trying to sell us? About one Bo Nix. And I still feel that, Stoke. I still feel that way, but I did about J.J. McCarthy as well. That Bo Nix at 12, it just feels about 40 picks too soon.
40? 40?
Yeah. Sorry, Kev.
I've been a little bit all over the place with these quarterbacks as far as early on, I wanted the Broncos to move back and gather more picks. And take your quarterback in the third round. We haven't done anything in free agency to add to Jared Stidham. And so I'm kind of back to wanting a quarterback, a young quarterback. And I don't want to have to move up to get that quarterback. If we could just stay at 12 and it's Bo Nix, and then hearing what Lewis Riddick said, hearing what Phil Yates said, all right. And then Sean Payton kind of puts his stamp on that,
yeah.
says, yeah, this is my guy, then okay, I can be excited about that. That's where I'm at. I could get excited about it and just hope, fingers crossed, that man, it's done.
Yeah.
It's done. The curse of Peyton Manning is gone. It's been lifted. We finally found our quarterback here that we're going to have under center here for hopefully the next 7, 8, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would be if it is Bo Nix. And I don't care if it's 40 picks too soon, 20 picks too soon. If you get him, I'm just going to be optimistic about it and hopeful that he's the guy.
So if he's got the Sean seal of approval, then we're backing the guy.
Yeah, well, we've heard it from Lewis Riddick. We heard it from Phil Yates. Yeah. We heard it from Chicken Fingers.
That's right.
Right, which is the main one here.
That's who we trust
Fingers
the most.
Is like, yes. And then Sean Payton tells us he mm-hmm. likes him. All right, let's ride.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, Russ was not introduced. He did a little video again in Pittsburgh. No catchphrase.
No, heck no. Dude.
Oh, you think?
No, dude, no. No, he's got some common sense.
That's debatable. All right, let's take a timeout. Quarter number one is in the books. We're going to keep this conversation going because we've got our first post-free agency mock. What does that have Denver doing? Chasing a quarterback, trading back for a quarterback. Details coming up.